Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome to another episode of Happiness From Within. I really want to thank you for tuning in to part two of Andy Outdate. The sole purpose of Happiness From Within is to touch people's hearts and souls at a very deep level through interviews. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. It's an honor to have you. If you haven't listened to part one, I definitely recommend that you go back one episode so you can catch the whole story. So just to give you a little bit of a background. So Andy is from Rhode Island. And even though this is the smallest city in the smallest state in America, Andy's dreams were not small. He wanted to move out and create an environment that was safe and facilitated progress. From asking questions like, is that my friend who got shot? How can I improve this business and motivate this person? His mindset has led him to amassing millions of dollars at the age of 20. And he lived in an environment that was fueled by gang violence and drugs. And through having a positive mindset, he's come to establish a mindset in four principles. The first principle is, first, commit to your goal. Two, figure out the rest later. Three, overcome fear and overcome doubt. Four, request support. And using these, Andy has now, he's a published author of his amazing book, No More Average. He's a motivational speaker and serial entrepreneur. He is widely recognized as an eminent speaker with a delivery that is high energy and human potential stimulating. He was raised in a city of impoverishment and a college dropout with a little formal education. Andy took the path of entrepreneurship, which has forced his way to endless education, which has become the reason for his success. This path has not only changed his circumstances, but has allowed him to effectively communicate the desire to be great to others. He helps entrepreneurs start and scale their business, and he lives in Los Angeles, California. So I really want to encourage you to sit back, relax, grab yourself maybe a green smoothie, a cup of coffee or tea, and I'll catch you in the episode.
My dad says, you're the man of the house now. I mean, I need you to stay. And I said, Dad, I got to go. I got to go. There's something big in California waiting for me. So this president, this guy behind this desk who obviously doesn't know where I come from, who obviously didn't grow up in an environment like me, he doesn't understand how much this means to me. My success, I believe at the time, relied in this opportunity. So I come back the next day, Janet, and I go to the president. I say, hey, man, give me an opportunity, as if I never met him before. I say, hey, man, hi, brother, man, give me an opportunity to go on tour with you. Where are we going? What cities? And he says, Andy, like, I love your enthusiasm. You know, that's what we're about here, personal development. Fight for what you want. But look, this is not the time, brother. This is not the time. I appreciate you, but this is not the time. And I don't think you're going to be chosen, okay? I'm like, yo, this guy doesn't understand. My mom, her wrist hurts. My brother, he's in college. Who's going to pay for the college bill? My dad just got laid off. I believe this is a success. I need to, the same way that I ran that 8-minute mile, to have Les Brown as a mentor, to have this group as a mentor, really teaching me more than just 9 videos would be, I need this opportunity. But he kicked me out. I got on a flight back to Los Angeles. My flight was already scheduled. I got back to Los Angeles now. We would have group calls as all the students, 485 students on the call. And when the CEO was done doing the training, he would ask, does anyone have any questions? And if you have questions, press *6 to get into the queue for the question, and we'll go through it one by one. Uh-huh. I ended up being one of the questioneers or one of the question people. It says, you have been unmuted. And I say, hey, I have a question. And then the CEO would say, okay, what's your question? I said, hey, man, I need an opportunity to go on tour, man. I need a win. I have to win. I need an opportunity to go on tour. Andy, this is not the time. Andy, this is not the time for us to talk. I need to win. This is the opportunity for me. I want to go on tour. You have been muted.
No. Aww.
Then I send an email to the president. Then I get on his Facebook. Then I go back to Florida, go back to his office. I say, listen, I have to be part of this tour. At that moment, he realized, I'm not going to stop. I'm relentless. PAW, your audience must write, your audience must write this down. PAW, persistence always wins. I go back to Florida. I'm in front of this president, and he says, after I tell him again, give me the opportunity. He saw how many times I was trying. He said, you know what, dude? All right, man. You're starting Orlando. Congratulations. You're part of the tour.
Wow.
I'm on this tour now. I'm the youngest person on this tour. I've never spoken on stage. I don't equate to these type of people. We're talking about these millionaires and so on and so forth. I don't equate to these type of people. However, I have a vision for myself. I have a dream for myself. I can win. You know, I can win. I can win. I can be amongst all these people and I can hang at the tables. I can do that. I believe in myself. That's the number one. That's one of the key things. You have to believe in yourself. So I had this belief in myself. Now I'm on this tour. I'm selling Les Brown tickets. But most importantly, what ended up happening is that when the opportunity came and arose, I said, hey, I want to get around Les Brown. So I said, I'll be the one to bring him to the airport. I'll be the one to bring him up to the room. Hey, Les, want me to carry your bags? I'll carry your bags, brother. Don't worry about it, man. I'll carry your bags. So I started carrying Les Brown's bags. I started carrying, hey, I'll get you food, whatever you need. So because I became a servant and I started serving, there comes a time where instead of being one of the 50 people that's around him as he traveled, he would say, hey, man, why don't you come up to my hotel room? He said, why don't you come up to my hotel room at 12 o'clock, man? I want to talk to you, see what you're up to. So I come to his hotel room. Now it's just me and him. And he'll ask me, what's my goals? What's my aspirations? He'll give me the guidance and the advice that I needed. Talk to me, work with me. And then I'll give him rides and we'll connect. And then I got his phone number. Then we started talking and we built a relationship. So throughout this story, what you see is that persistence will always win, no matter the situation. This is why I truly believe money is not a determining factor. Time is not a determining factor. Energy is not a determining factor. Knowledge is not a determining factor. The only thing that's a determining factor for you to get what it is that you want is persistence. If what you desire is coming from another human being, which probably at some point you'll realize that everything you want is from other human beings, then you realize this one thing is always true in every single story of how someone becomes successful, is that persistence always wins. If the wind beats hard enough every single day on the tallest building, eventually that building will collapse. The only reason that the building doesn't collapse because of the wind is because the wind doesn't keep going every day, or it doesn't go hard enough.
Wow. You have such a beautiful heart. I'm just so blown away with your story. It's just like, wow. So then what ends up happening after that? So you're going...
I go on tour. I've traveled with Les. I learn from Les. And then the tour happens to come to a screeching halt. And at the end of the tour, I leave. I don't know what city we're in. I think we were back in Florida or Texas. And I come to California. The tour is over. Now I'm in my apartment. And I'm like, what do I do now? Like, I don't have a direction. Before the tour, I wasn't working because I had so much money from the cell phone store. Now I'm so many months in after this tour, I don't have that type of money because I was spending a bunch of money. What do I do now? I have no idea. So I said, you know what? I'm going to host an event the same way that I learned from Les how to host an event, or I learned from that organization how to host an event. So I host my own little event and I called it the Sales Growth Conference. That event ended up turning into what is now today the Progression Conference, which I still host. And this is one event that I'm hosting. Oh man, Jen, this is good. This is good. This is going to be the most profound podcast in literally years. So I end up hosting this. I commit to a date. Remember, commit first, figure the rest out later. So I go to a hotel. I don't know how to negotiate with the hotel. I don't know how to work the contracts. I don't know when a salesperson is telling me the truth as far as like what is required versus what is an upsell so that they make more on the commission. So I don't know what I'm essentially doing as far as negotiating with hotels and running this event, but I commit. I go to the hotel, I sign the deal. And I say, on September 29th, 2017, I will have an event here. Now, what happens is because I don't know really 100% what to do, I start procrastinating. I say, I'll get to it. I know I have a vision of this event to be successful, but I will get to this event. I will eventually get, I will have a full room and I will have a successful event. And I have, I think I had like 3 or 4 months to promote this event. Literally, this is what happens. I'm now selling books. So my income, I'm now in California for a year and some change. The money that I came to California with is essentially depleted. I haven't really been making much money. It's essentially depleted my savings. And now I committed to this event. And I remember what happened was I didn't even have money for rent the next month. And I go to my landlord and I say, hey, look, I'm going to have a seminar. I'm going to be successful. Would you mind just waiting an extra 30 days? And I'll give you 2 months worth of rent in 30 days. And the landlord looked at me and chuckled a bit and said, listen, me and my wife will come talk to you at 7 o'clock tonight. And they're like, they were reluctant to give us an apartment because we were 21 at the time. I was 21 in the first place. So they knew what was going on. Like, yo, you're 21, this is your first apartment. Like, I get it. So the landlord comes and tells us at 7 o'clock that evening, he says, with his wife, he says, this is what happens, young man. When you don't pay up your, when you don't pay, I'm going to give you a 3-day notice. And this 3-day notice says you have to pay or quit. Quit means that you leave the apartment and it goes, you get a ding on your credit and so on and so forth. You eventually leave the, you eventually terminate the lease and we keep your security deposit. If you pay, well, you know what happens. You pay. You just stay here. After the 3 days, if you decide to stay here after the 3-day pay or quit notice, then what's going to happen is that I'm going to call the police and the police will come and they're going to be at the door and it'll be a sheriff. And the sheriff will be here. And once the sheriff is here, now you only have 60 minutes to take everything out of the apartment and put it onto the lawn. And it will change the lock within 75 minutes from that initial starting point. You have to pay or quit. Thank you. Goodbye. And I said, damn, these people don't believe in my dream. Like, they don't believe in me. Then, I mean, now I know that it's business. But back then I was like, yo, this is my dream. So I started selling books. I got $25 books. Who needs a book? I go on Facebook Live and I'm talking to all the people that follow me. I'm like, hey guys, hey, I'm starting signing books. Janet, let me tell you what my secret was. I never told this in public before. Never, never, not on stage, not in person, not on a podcast.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. I wrote a book called No More Average. This was the first copy. I wrote a book called No More Average. The only idea or the concept of essentially this business, the concept that I had was that, I mean, you write a book, you sell a book, you sell a bunch of books, and that's how you make money. And so that is actually not true. That's how you lose money. But I didn't learn until I went through this experience. So I'm on Facebook. And what I did was I'll grab a Sharpie marker and an Expo marker, and I bought a stack of books. So I don't have the $1,500 for rent, but I got a couple of hundred for the books. Okay, so I bought these books and it costs me about $3 per book. I'm selling it for $29 plus shipping. And what I did was I went on Facebook Live and I spent hours on Facebook Live and I would pitch the book and I'd say, this is why I bought, this is why I created the book. This is why you should get the book. And I'd send people the website to go buy the book. And then once the payment came through, it would show up on my phone. And then I would sign the book with a Sharpie marker. And I said, hey, Janet, this is your book. It's coming to you. Janet, this is a signed copy. Then what I started doing was I grabbed an Expo marker, the erasable marker, and I would sign it with a black tip. And when people would come into the live, I'd say, Henry, I see that you came to the live, man. Obviously, that means you're interested. Brother, I'm so grateful for you getting this book. Go to nomoreaveragebook.com. Get the book. I'm signing it for you right now. And I sign it with the Expo marker. I'm hoping they buy it.
Wow.
Once people saw their name on the book and I said, this is for you, I'm shipping it out to you, and they saw the name on the book, they just happened to go to the page and buy it.
Wow.
And a small handful would be like, hey, I'll get it next week, I'll get it in 2 months or whatever, and they never bought it, but it was an expo, so I erased their name. But the people that actually ended up buying it, I ended up signing it and sending it to them. So now this, I made up my rent money. I made up my rent money. I got PayPal, put in my bank account, and I send it to my landlord. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, you know what, man? I'm never going to be in this position. Thank God I wasn't in that position. until the next month happened. And then the next month was, so I pay rent. The next month, I'm now hustling now because I was procrastinating because I waited so long, and I realized what happens when you wait so long. I almost got evicted. So now I'm out trying to sell tickets. I'm doing presentations for companies. I'm out meeting people. So I put on my suit. I go to a place where real estate associates congregate. A bunch of real estate agents get together and they get on stage, each of them one by one, maybe 100, but each of them one by one get on stage and say, hey, I have a building at South Figueroa, 843 South Figueroa Street, 3-bedroom, $1.2 million. Anyone interested, call me. This is my number. And that's what they'll do for hours because they're looking for, people are looking for buyers, people are looking for sellers. So this is how they'll communicate. So I go to this place and I'm trying to sell real estate agents tickets to this event. I meet a guy, he comes up to me, he says, young man, you're so spiffy, man. You got your suit on, you got your tie. Man, why don't we have a meeting, brother? I said, I would love to have a meeting. In my head, I'm trying to sell him a sponsorship to sponsor my event. In his head, he's trying to sell me a suit for his wife's company, which is high-end tailoring. So I'm thinking like he's interested in the event. He's thinking I'm interested in the suit. We don't talk about either. He schedules a meeting. We schedule a meeting. I go to his office. The only, if you ever travel in Los Angeles, parking is scarce. The only parking available at this, in this area is a parking lot structure. I go into the parking lot structure. And I remember to myself, I'm like, Andy, you got to get the deal right now because the hotel is asking you for money. You have rent due now in a couple of weeks and you only have $19.73 in your bank account, bro. You got to get money now.
Wow.
After all these expenses that you paid, you got $19.73. You gratefully have a full gas tank. Gratefully, you have Oreos at the house. And gratefully, you have about 3.5 weeks now to get rent money for next month. You have to hustle. So I traveled to the meetup with this guy. And once I get to his office, I pull into the parking garage. It says 2 hours free parking. After 2 hours, $10 an hour. I'm like, okay, great. I have 2 hours to close this guy. Andy, how much do you want to close him on? I want to close him on $2,000. That's what I need to think big because thinking small has not been helping me. Okay, I got to think bigger now. So I go from selling $29 books to trying to sell him $2,000 sponsorship. This was a shot in the dark for me to try at $2,000 at one time. I go into the office. I walk in and I'm thinking it's just going to be that one guy. It happens to be three guys and the original guy's wife. And I'm like, man, they're about to gang up on me, man. Shoot, what's going to happen? So I walk in. They have this like generic suit on the table. They have a catalog, and they're ready to go. The wife is waiting there. Imagine a young, petite Asian woman, her hands crossed around her crotch area. She's holding her hands together. And as soon as I approach, she starts smiling. Hello, Andy. Welcome. And I'm like, damn. All right, cool. Don't worry about this, Andy. You got this. I believe in you, Andy. Let's go. I walk in. Then they start pitching me. They're telling me the story. And they're like, why don't you try on this suit? So I try on the suit. And like, well, how does it feel? I'm like, it feels amazing. Why don't you put your hand right here? Wow, is that velvet? Oh my God. Yes, Andy. By the way, we're going to put your name on, we're going to put your name here and we will get you a free tie with your initials. Oh my gosh. You would be the boss at these tables. I said, yes, I would be. I'll be the boss at these tables. Oh my gosh. What else do you have? Oh, we have customized shirts where it's going to contour to your body. That's why people have their shirt ends up falling out of their pants because it's not contoured. Your shirt is going to contour to your body. It's going to be amazing. I said, oh my gosh, it is going to be amazing. They tell me the story. The reason that the other two guys were there was because it was actually a multi-level marketing company. So they bought their higher levels up to close me. They're considered the closers. And now they're trying to pitch me. Once they realize that I'm not going to buy, magically, they have something to do and they end up leaving. Then now I'm in front of the two people, the wife and the husband that I was originally there to meet. I look at the time, Andy, you have an hour, you've been here for an hour, 45 minutes talking about a suit. You know you ain't gonna buy no suit. Do the deal. I said, hey guys, you know, we've been here long enough. Why don't we talk about the sponsorship? And they're like, oh yes, yes, yes. What's the sponsorship? Tell me. And I said, hey, so you're gonna be in front of an audience. It's $2,000. And they're like, $2,000? Okay. What are the benefits? So now I'm pitching them. I'm going back and forth. And I'm in my head, I said, okay, I look at the time, 14 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Okay, you're sweating now. But are you about to close this deal? Because if you make $10,000, that $10 fee is nothing. Then at the end, after 2 hours and 15 minutes of being there, they tell me, you know what? I'll think about it. We'll think about it, okay? I don't know if it's for us. We'll think about it. I said, okay, thank you guys so much. I walked out. A tear almost dropped from my face. I go to my car. I get into the car. I pull out and I ask, like, God, I hope that there's a glitch in this computer and I don't have to pay. I put the ticket in, $10, please, in order for you to leave. I'm the only one in this parking lot late in this evening. There's no one that's going to open the gate for me. I'm doomed. I paid the $10. I now have $9.73 in my bank account. I hit my steering wheel. After getting out, I hit my steering wheel in the discovery that if I went to McDonald's right now, I do not have enough for a Big Mac that's large. Cause that's $11. I don't have enough money for that. I come up from a position where a year and a half before that, I made nearly $1 million. I have 14 people working for me. I have 4 stores. And now I'm by myself in my car driving home on my last tank of gas with $9.73. And I can't buy a burger if I wanted to. I get home to my apartment and I got on my knees and I prayed. I have no clue why you're doing this, God. How are you going to do, why would you do this in the first place? Like, why? I have no clue why you're allowing this to happen. I have no clue, but I pray that you take me out of this soon. I pray that you take me out of this soon. The next day, the hotel calls me. Andy, you have a $4,000 balance. Your event is a couple of weeks away. On the contract, you said that you would pay the $4,000 by now. When are we expecting the money? I said, hey, guys, don't worry about it. You're going to get the money soon. Don't worry about it, guys. You can get the money soon. I need you guys to delay the payment. And I think we need to move the room because I think I overstretched myself and I need a smaller room. Can you do that? Yes, Andy, we can do that for you. We'll get you a smaller room, but we can't change the rate. We already have the contract. I said, okay, no problem. Just get me a smaller room so that way I don't look like an idiot. And they got me the smaller room. And I say, give me some time to get the money. I get a phone call the next day. And I look at the phone. I don't recognize the number, but I'm leaving the gym. I believe that if I go to the gym, maybe my problems will be solved. So I go to the gym. I look at my phone as I'm coming home from the gym. And I'm in my basketball shorts. And then I look at my phone and I don't recognize the number. I pick up, Andy. I said, who's this? Wait, is this who I think it is? Les Brown calls me.
Oh, wow.
He said, Andy, why didn't you tell me you were having an event? I said, Les, I didn't think I could even tell you. I mean, I didn't know, Les. I didn't know I was supposed to tell you. He said, man, why don't you have me come speak at your event? I said, Les, but your fee is like $70,000 that you charge all these people. I saw the contracts. He's like, hey, man, because all the times that I was serving him, remember that before in my story, all the times that I was serving him, it was like in a service bank account. So now I needed a favor. It came back around full effect.
Wow. So
he said, look, this is what I'll do for you, Andy. I'm all the way in Ohio. I got to pay, you know, this flight cost. There's all these other costs. Tell you what, instead of 70,000, we'll do it at 7,000, $7,000. Do you think I have $7,000? I don't have $7,000.
Wow.
He said, we'll do that 7,000. I said, great, let's do it. Let's go, man. let's do it. And I remember saying to him, I said, let's do it. And he said, but Les, to be real with you, I don't have 7,000 right now, but I'll get it. And he said, you have an investor. I said, Les, I'll get it. Then he said, okay. So we're talking, I get to my apartment. I'm in front of my apartment now. We're talking on the phone and we're talking for, I mean, we're talking for like 30, 35 minutes at this time. And he's like, all right, so this is what we're going to do. I have about 1.2 million followers on Instagram, on Facebook. We're going to do a Facebook Live every single day until your event. Then we're going to do Facebook ads. And then I'm going to create a highlight video where I'm going to direct a bunch of traffic to your website so that they can buy tickets. Okay. Are we clear? I'm like, yeah. And then I'm going to come to California in a couple of weeks. I want to shoot a video with you as well, letting people know that they got to come to this event. I said, great, let's do it. And I said, wait, Les, before you go, question for you. I have a serious question. Do you really believe that we can get 200 people to come to this event in a couple of weeks? He said, Andy, never mind. I don't want to do this event with you. I actually don't want to do business with you, Andy. I'm all set. Thank you. I'm not doing this event. He hung up. I go into my apartment. I go into the living room. I'm pacing back and forth. I call him back. He doesn't pick up the phone. I'm pacing back and forth, and I start thinking about my mom's, her hand. I start thinking about my brother in college, my dad that got laid off. I went on tour, but this was the shot that I was looking for. Les, for a 22-year-old to be able to bring Les Brown to California and have him on stage at his event will be phenomenal, right? That would be an amazing experience. That would be an amazing opportunity. The press would be crazy. People would want me on their podcast. People would want me to, I don't know, like do business with them or something because I did something great. This is my dream. It's my opportunity to be successful now. I knew he was in California at the time. I drove to the house that he was at. I run to the door. Literally, as fast as I could, I get to that house. It took me 45 minutes to drive there on a regular speed. I made it there in 30 minutes. I was passing by red lights. It didn't matter if I got stopped. It didn't matter. I had to get there. I got there on time. I got there in like 30-something minutes. Then I run to the door. The woman opens the door and tells me, hey, Andy, I'm sorry, Les is actually not here right now. He's in Orange shooting a commercial. I said, can you give me the address? She's like, no, I can't do that. So I call Les back. Les doesn't pick up the phone. I said, you know what? I'm going to keep calling him like how he kept on calling how he kept on trying to get that deal with it to be a disc jockey in his story. So I kept on calling Les. Les picks up the phone at this moment. He says, Andy, listen, I'm not doing the deal. I don't care how much money, even if you were to send me the money right now, I'm not doing it. Goodbye. Hung up the phone. I go to the beach down the street from his house. I put my feet in the sand. I look up at the sky. And I said to I said, God, why? I don't get why you're doing this stuff to me, man. I don't get why, like, you, I get no money. Literally, my dreams was right in front of me. You take it right away. I don't get it. Why you got me going through this hell? And I look up at the sky, and I get a download right there from God. And God specifically said to me, do not doubt yourself. I purposely did this to let you know to not doubt yourself. Move forward without doubting yourself. I said, all right, I get it. I didn't call Les Brown back. I didn't even, you know, persistence does win always, but I didn't persist after that. I believed in God more than I believed in myself. So I went to sell tickets to a bunch of real estate agents. I still got $9.73 in my bank account. I barely got gas. I go to sell to speak to a bunch of real estate agents, and in a room of 30 people, I sold one ticket for $400. I made $400. Now I'm able to refill my gas and I'm able to so on and so forth. Then after I finished that presentation, I get a phone call from the president. This was a couple of days after that beach experience. I get a phone call from Les Brown's president. Hey, Andy, for some reason, brother, Les Brown called me and he said he wants to speak at your event and he's not going to charge you $7,000. I don't know what that's all about, bro, but he's going to come to speak at your event completely no charge. Okay.
Wow.
I'm like, what? I said, thank you, sir. I hung up. I turned into the audience and I said, hey guys, by the way, that event that I'm selling, Les Brown just confirmed he's speaking. Oh, let me get a ticket. Now these people get tickets. A person says, hey, why don't you come to my office? I go to this person's office who was at this meeting. Long story short, I met with the CEO of this company. I met with the vice president of this company. So I met with these two individuals. I said, hey, why don't you sponsor my event? It's a couple thousand dollars. They sponsor my event. The hotel has been calling me nonstop. They end up doing the deal. They end up sponsoring me. And then I end up paying the hotel. Now I paid the hotel. The hotel's paid off. Wow. Les Brown's coming to speak. I'm selling tickets. I'm making the money. I'm making so much money back now. Why? I decided not to doubt myself. And I decided to move forward. So in your story, in your life, when there's opportunities for you to grow, do not doubt yourself. Keep moving forward. One limitation doesn't mean that it's completely over. How can you use that limitation to your advantage? The way I use that now is that it's part of my story and it allows other people to move forward and progress. You're more powerful than you think. I thought I needed something external outside of myself and God. I thought I needed something else, but I didn't. All I needed was my decision to commit. I signed a hotel that I couldn't pay for. I committed to somehow, some way getting on stage with Les Brown. A couple of days pass. Les Brown comes to California. He's speaking at my event. He's on stage with me. To start off the event, I said, hey guys, before we, let me backtrack a little bit. Wow. This most important part right here when it comes to belief. I have Les Brown speaking at my event now. I don't know, because I'm new to the industry, I don't know how to keep track of how many people are registered. I had printed physical tickets and I literally gave them some away. I sold some. I have these VIP tickets and I have these general admission tickets. And I printed, I think, 400 of them. And I would just give them away. Man, sometimes I would drop them in people's mailboxes, like hopefully they come. And on the day of the event, I had just enough money to pay for my hotel room and Les Brown's hotel room. And probably a couple hundred bucks more. And on the day of the event, the event started at 9 o'clock. I go into the conference room where the event was being held at 9:01. There's literally probably like four or five people standing up talking while the music is playing. There is no way that this is a real event. There's 70 seats laid out. I originally expected 300. I went to a smaller room. Now there's 70 seats laid out. And there's like three or four people standing up talking amongst themselves. And a couple of them are the speakers. Wow. I go into my hotel room. My camera guy's following me and I say, hey man, I need you to leave me alone. I go into the room and I get on my knees and I pray. And I said, God, you told me that this was going to be a success. I don't understand. Like, God, I don't understand you. And he told me the same thing. He said, boy, didn't I tell you at the beach, don't doubt yourself. And I said, all right, God, I won't doubt myself. I have belief. So I mustered up this belief from out of nowhere. I walked back to the hotel room confidently. I tell you, Janet, by the grace of God, somehow, some way, I couldn't even put a penny to, I couldn't even tell you what was going on. There's a long line. There's a long line where my best friend Patrick was, my roommate at the time, who was my only volunteer, where he's registering all these people. I go into the room is completely full. Wow. I had to text the hotel manager and I said, hey, there's standing room only. Can you get chairs, please? Additional chairs. We had 111 people. We set up the room for 70 people. Before I went to go pray and I had belief, there was three people. A completely full room. Les Brown, I start the event with a prayer. And I said, you guys have no clue what I went through to get here. And for the first time publicly, I'm actually sharing what actually went down. You guys have no clue what it took. All you see is a 22-year-old that brought the number one motivational speaker on stage to California. And that day, ironically, he was booked for another event that paid him $10,000 to show up to do an appearance in Vegas. That day, he decided to literally go to that event super late to stay at my event. Wow. And he did it completely at no charge. I started off that event with a prayer and I said, you guys have no clue what it took to get here. You only see the success. You guys only say the wow. You only say this is amazing, but you have no clue what it took. What do you guys think is going to take for you to become successful? Then we had the full-on event. People's lives were completely changed. There was actually one woman to this day, one woman who sat up in the front. I sold her a ticket. I sold her a $600 ticket. She was homeless. She bought the ticket 2 days prior to the event. And she lived in Vegas. She had $900 in her bank account, and she didn't have a property. She didn't have a home, but she had kids. The government was giving her money. And I convinced her to give me, out of that 900, I convinced her to give me $597. So about $600. And the rest of it, she paid for a flight. I'm a great salesperson, but most importantly, I'm a great supporter. I'm a great pusher. I push people to reach past their limits. So I tell this woman who had only $900 and is homeless, give me $600. And the reason I told her to pay was for this reason I'm about to share with you here. When people pay attention. So I knew if she was homeless, she got a free ticket, it would have supported her habit of being homeless. It was like, hey, I didn't have to pay like everyone else did because I'm homeless, so I can continue to be homeless. So I pushed her to pay. She paid. Then she came to the event. Because you paid so much and it was such a stretch for her, she sat front row. She got literally everything that she needed to get from this event. I said, what is your story? Like, you're so hype at this event. What is your story? She says, Andy, when I was 23, she's now, I don't know, maybe 40, 50. She said, Andy, when I was 23, I was kidnapped. I was raped by a group of men and they slit my throat and left me for dead. And I've been holding the story in for the last 20 something years and I never shared it. But you can see the scar on my neck and you can see the scar. It's really thick. You can see the scar. It's huge. They left her for dead in a van. And I said, you got to share your story. And she goes, I believe that. After being at this event, I believe that. She went back to Vegas. She left the hotel that we were at. She went to another hotel. She didn't have enough money for a hotel room. So she slept in a lobby in another hotel so no one saw her. She ended up telling me afterwards. She went. Then the next morning, she went to the airport, off through the free shuttle, got on the airport, went to Vegas, went back home. This must have been a year later. No. This was 2 months later, actually. 2 months later. So that was in September. 2 months later is now November. I'm in a new position now. I'm financially in a new position. I'm able to take care of myself because I do not doubt myself anymore at this moment. I continue to strive forward, and that increased my income. So now I take my girlfriend to Vegas. Me and my girl are in Vegas. And then next thing I say, when I'm in different cities, I want to meet my clients. I want to meet people who I've done business with. So I reach out to that woman who was homeless that came to my event. I said, hey, I'm in Vegas. I would love to meet you. I know you're homeless, but I would love to meet you. She said, Andy, come to this address. I came to the address. I met up with her. I said, whose house is this? She said, Andy, this is my house. Wow. I said, what? She said, Andy, after that event, it put a spark in me. I tell you like no other. I want you to come upstairs. I go upstairs. There's like a little computer there. There's a little cheap computer. She opens up Google Drive. She goes, Andy, this is my book. Remember you told me to write a book? This is my book. This is a story that I wrote. I'm about to get it published. I said, oh my gosh. You wrote a book. I go downstairs and I go to the couch. And I see I'm like, who are these kids? She's like, Andy, these are my kids. We now have a home to live in. And they all have their own bedroom. Thank you, Andy, for hosting that event. It changed my life. She's sharing her story. She's now a motivational speaker. She's making income now. She has a property because I had to go through what I had to go through to make sure that she had her spot, to make sure that she was taken care of. This is what I mean by there's people relying on you, that there's people depending on you. So Janet, the things that you go through that it might be challenging, the people that are listening, the stuff that you go through that might be challenging, there's a process and there's a reason why. Now, almost four years later, I'm now producing a nationwide tour. I'm not in that predicament that I was financially at. I have an abundance of money. I have employees now that I'm paying. I have managing directors in my company, and we'll produce high five figures every single month. We have clients that are on track to pay us $120,000 per client per contract in a 12-month time span. So that's $10,000 a month per client. And we'll be able to house 20 of those clients and manage 20 clients. Plus, we'll have 80 entrepreneurs paying between $1,500 to $5,000 a month, and we'll support them in their marketing. This is fast forward 3.5 years later. Wow. So I'm in a different predicament now. Now, when I look back and I ask why, I ask myself, why do I think that I went through that predicament? Well, from 18 to 22, when I would talk to people who were on the phone that they would tell me that they were financially unstable, I never really understood what that actually meant. I made nearly $1 million from at 21. You know, I never actually understood what it meant to not have money. So to go through that experience, now I understand. So now I have a heart for people who don't have money. That even pushed me more to propel my story, to propel this mindset of progression, and to do it on a daily basis. Because there's so many people that are financially challenged and that are experiencing that $9.73 experience that I had. But I want them to know that they can also experience that $1 million experience that I had and that I'm having. And these stories, this system is what's going to give it to other people. Nowadays, I'm producing tours. I've trained over 1,000 speakers to now present on stage on a monthly basis. I'm marketing to, and I'm in front of, and I'm connecting with, and I'm sharing content with about 300,000 people on a monthly basis. And I'm constantly pushing every single day because every single person does matter. That's why I do what I do, Janet. And that's why I truly believe you do what you do. But also the people that are listening, that vision that you have for yourself, that vision that you have for your future, other people are dependent on you. I didn't know that woman who was homeless and going through that situation truly depended on me. Not only her, but her kids. She had two 20-year-olds, twins, and she had a little 7-year-old who were once on the streets, now living in a house. I didn't meet them until they got to the house. But the leader of that group, the mom, that experience was dependent on my ability, my decision to overcome doubt, bring Les Brown, host the event with, I don't know, I think 11 speakers that day, and give her the information that she needed, plus the motivation, plus the mindset, plus the networking opportunity, so that way she can overcome her predicament. So after that experience, I created a mantra, which is the opportunity is in the show up. So many people are looking for an opportunity. They literally, all they have to do is show up. Whatever it takes. She paid $600. She paid $600.
Wow.
Now, the last part that some people may have questions for, as I mentioned that I went to Vegas. So I was struggling financially. I was at $9.73. I end up getting the few $1,000 that I need to host this event. And then now I host the event. It was a success. Then I'm traveling to Vegas and I'm not in the same predicament. I had money now. Now, here's why I had money. 3 days before the event. 3 days before the event. Yes, 3 days before the event. Now, this was, 3 days before the event. I'm sitting in my apartment and I have $300 in my bank account. Now, I paid for the hotel already. I'm fine. I paid for the hotel. I only have $300. I didn't know how I was going to pay for the rest of pay for the camera crew, stuff like that. I had no idea. But I did not have doubt. I had faith. I said, I'm going to overcome. I don't know how, but I'm going to overcome. I committed. I said, I'll figure the rest out. 3 days before the event, there's another seminar that's being held with very rich people. One of the speakers, his name is Grant Cardone.
Oh, wow.
As of today, he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
Grant Cardone is speaking at this event. His business partner is speaking at this event. And then there's a bunch of other people that are speaking at this event. A lot of wealthy people on the stage. Probably at that time, there was literally probably about $1.5 billion in revenue per year of speakers that spoke on that stage. There was a guy, his name's Sam. He owns 100 fitness gyms. He's making $50 million a year, and he's speaking at this event. Grant Cardone's speaking at this event.
Sam Bakhtiar, right?
Sam Bakhtiar.
Yes.
Speaking at this event. Now, this is about 3 days before my event. One of the speakers, I have $300 in my bank account, and the person that's hosting the event said, you can go to the website right now, buy a ticket, and if you buy a ticket, it's $600 for the ticket. I don't have $600, I can't go. Then the speaker on the same Instagram said, but if you come to the door with $100, we'll let you in. And I said, damn, $100, but like I only got $300 in my bank account. The reason I had $300 was because I went from selling the book at $29 to now charging $300 for coaching per month. And I had like two coaching clients that would pay me $300 per month. So now I'm selling books and coaching. So I'm making $600 per month plus books and whatever other way I can hustle and sell a product. Man, to take one third of my bank account right now with this $300 is crazy to go to this door event. So I go to the website of this event and I see there's a live stream button. I click the live stream button and it says like pay $49. I'm like, I'm not going to pay $49. There's a coupon section. Let me try the coupon section. So I click on the coupon section. And then I start entering random codes. I enter the name of the event. I enter the speaker's names. I enter zero. Then I try the word free, F-R-E-E. Next thing you know, free allowed me to get in. I bypassed the $49. I see a speaker speaking on stage. His name is Brad Lee. He runs a software company out of Las Vegas. His company is doing $50 million at the time. He's one of Grant Cardone's partners, business partners. And Brad makes a con. Now, I'm literally like sitting in my basketball shorts. I know I feel like I should be at this event, but I'm not at this event because I'm scared because of the money. And I'm watching the video and I'm like, man, I'm watching the content. At least that, right? At least I'm getting the content. Then Brad makes a comment and he says, congratulations for the people that are in this room. There's people out there that know they should have been in this room. They're not here. They can do it, but they chose not to. Congratulations to the people that are in this room. Give yourselves a round of applause. I bow my head and I say, damn, I know I should be there. It's about 3 o'clock at this time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because I procrastinated. The event started at 9 a.m. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The event ends at 7 p.m. I go to my room. I put on my suit. Slowly, because I really just don't want to go and spend this $100. But I say the opportunities in the show up. I know that if I show up, I'm going to receive an opportunity. I cannot have doubt. Andy, you've been through this already. Don't doubt yourself. So I put my suit on. I get in my car. I go through LA traffic. I get to the spot by 5 p.m. Now I got 2 hours left in this event. Oh my gosh. I get to the door. And I'm hoping that they say, hey, man, there's 2 hours left. Just go on in. I get to the door, security stops me and says, hey, do you have a ticket? I said, no, but they said online, I can just come and get a ticket. And they said, okay, hold on 1 second. We're going to get that person. They go around searching for this person. I'm like, please just let me in. And they say, forget it. Then they found the person. The person comes out with the payment, with the credit card processor and says, hey, $99. I'm like, oh, here's my card. I pay the $99. I get into the event. I walk in, Sam Bakhtiar is speaking there. He says, one thing, as soon as I walk in, he says, proximity is power. He's at the end of his speech. Last note, last key takeaway he said was proximity is power. He gets off stage. He has this beautiful suit on, gold. His company's making $50 million. Like, it's amazing. Then next thing you know, Grant Cardone goes on stage and speaks. Then that's the end of the event. Grant Cardone spoke. Everybody's hyped up. That's the end of the event. Grant Cardone gets off stage. The host gets on the stage, ends the event completely. And now there's, I don't know, maybe 500 people that are now dispersed and leaving. I stay to the end. Literally, I want to stay until I need to get my money's worth. When people pay, they pay attention. So I need to get my money's worth. So I got to meet somebody. I don't know. So I stay until the end of the event. Completely. I'm talking about when the hotel cleans up. Now they put the lights on. There's about 75 people left in the room now that are still networking, connecting. Grant Cardone comes from backstage with his backpack. He tries to sneak out through the side door. because people are going to bombard him. He tries to sneak out through the side door, and I see him. I go through another side door, and I literally walk as fast as I can without looking like a weirdo. And I say softly, I say, "Hey, Grant, can I take a photo with you?" So Grant says, "Hold on a second. Let me go. I got to go. I forgot. I got to go get my wife in the room. Stay right here. I'll go get my wife in the room." I said, "Stay right here, man. I know you ain't coming back." So I follow him into the room. The 75 people that's in the room swarm him. "Grant, sign my book. Grant, sign my baby. Grant, sign my forehead. Like, take a picture." 75 people just surrounded him. His wife comes up, creeps up behind him and says, "All right, babe, I'm here." And then his business partner, Brad, goes up to him and says, "Hey, where are we going to dinner tonight?" Literally, I'm the only one that's focused. Everyone's asking for a signature. Everyone's there like a fan and going crazy. I focus on what's going on in front of me. Grant's partner whispers to Grant and says, "Hey, we're going to Fleming's tonight. Like we're going to the restaurant downstairs, Fleming's." He whispered this to the business partner. The business partner, Brad, the business partner says, "Grant, where are we going tonight?" Grant says, "We're going to Fleming's." I Google Fleming's. It says that it is 0.1 mile away. It's going to take me literally 2 minutes to walk. So Grant, because I came correct, which is the demeanor of not like being a crazy fan and asking him like real questions, I said, "Grant, you know, how can I improve my income, so on and so forth?" And instead of coming like, "Grant, sign, please, take a picture," and like I didn't come crazy, he started walking with me. So we started walking to the elevator. All these people are running to him, and he says, "Hey, not now. Thank you guys. Not now. Thank you guys. Not now." We get into the elevator. For some reason, there's a random guy that's following me with his camera. And this guy's following me with his camera, with his iPhone camera, just taking a video. I don't know who this guy is. Grant doesn't know who this guy is. He's just in the elevator with us. Grant tells me, "You need to expand your income." He asked me, "How much am I charging for my products now?" I said, "I'm charging $300. He said, "Man, you got to charge at least, you know, a couple of, like, you're not even going to, you can't even like get by, can you?" And I'm like, "Nah, man." And he said, "Yeah, you got to expand your numbers, man. You got to get bigger numbers. You got to just ask." So he expanded my mindset that day. Then that guy who had who's recording. So we go down the elevator. Grant gets off with his business partner and his wife. They leave the elevator. Then we get off I get off the elevator. That guy who had the video, who's recording, I said, "Hey, man, can you send that to my phone?" He said, "Yeah, sure." He sends it to my phone. I said, "Hey, man, I'm about to change your life." He said, "Okay, who are you?" And I said, "I'm Andy, our date." I knew who I was before I was who I am. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes. Say it again for the audience.
I knew who I was before I became who I am. So I said, "Yeah, but who are you?" I said, "I'm Andy, our date. I'm about to change your life right now." I said, you just sent me this valuable piece of content that is, I mean, technically to me is important, that you got the footage. You got this footage that I wanted. Thank you for doing that. I'm about to change your life." So I said, "Follow me." We go to the Fleming's restaurant. This guy's behind me. It's me and him. He's a 26-year-old guy from Oregon. And we go to the restaurant. He says, "What are we doing at this restaurant?" I said, "Just wait. Just listen." I said, "Excuse me, waiter, can I have a table for four, please?" "Hey, so where's the rest of the party?" I said, "Oh, they're on their way." "Okay, we'll wait for them." I said, "Okay, no problem." I needed just that opportunity just to wait. So they had us waiting in the lobby of the restaurant. Then after a few minutes, I said, "Hey, can we just take a seat?" We took a seat, and the waiter comes up to us and says, "Oh, we're still waiting for your party?" I said, "Yes, just wait for them until we'll get ready to order." The reason I did that was because I wanted to prolong the ordering experience so that way I can wait for Grant to show up because I know they're coming. 10 minutes later, Grant changed out of his suit and stuff, and there's a huge posse of all these millionaires, Sam Bakhtiar, Brad Lee, Grant Cardone. They just walked through this hotel, the restaurant, and you can see the energy shift where it's focused on them. They go into a VIP room. They close the door. I go into the bathroom. I put water on my face. I look at myself in the mirror. "You know who you are. You're Andy, our date. You know who you are. Show up powerfully." I put water on my face, wiped my face. I went into that room. I sat down at an empty chair. And the waiter comes around and he's taking an order. "What would you like, sir?" I said, "Yeah, man, let me get a, I only had $200 at this time." I said, "Man, you know, if you ever go to Fleming's, one steak, you know, you're going to spend $50, $60. So I said, "Let me get a potato soup." let me get a potato soup, man. You know, let me get a potato soup, man. So he gives me, so he brings me a potato soup and a wine. And now Grant is passing by me and I said, "Hey, Grant, you know, let's talk about 10X Growth Con." So at this time, this was when he was hosting his second 10X Growth Con. So we start talking about that. Then his business partner, Brad, ends up asking me a question. He says, "Hey, man, I know everybody at this table. Like, tell me about you, Andy." I said, I told him about me. And then Brad, his partner says, Grant's partner says, "Man, why don't you come to Vegas, man? I'll have you on my podcast. Come to Vegas, come to my office. I'm going to have you on my podcast. I just started a podcast." This multimillionaire who is friends with these people just asked me to come to Vegas, his office. The opportunity's in the show. I said, "Yes, I'm there." The next week, I go to Vegas. I'm in his office. We're hanging out. We're talking. That Friday of that week, I had a meeting with a prospect to do business with. And I was going to charge them $299 for my coaching. Because at that time, that's what I was thinking. $299 for my coaching. And you know what? Instead of $299, what I'm going to charge them is $5,000. Wow. In my head, that's what I'm thinking. I'm going to go from $299 to $5,000. Let's see what happens. After we left the restaurant, Brad invites me to go to Vegas. That's great. We leave the restaurant. The guy who came to, who I literally told him that I'm going to change his life, he ended up coming into the VIP room, sat down with Grant, sat down with other people. He got value from it. He said, "Oh my gosh, dude, who are you?" I said, "I told you, I'm Andy Audate." And he said, "Dude, like, how can I keep in contact with you?" I said, "Hey man, I'm having a seminar. The tickets are $300. Why don't you buy a ticket?" He said, "Here's a $300 cash." So just so you know, I spent $99 to come into the room. I only had $200. I was scared to spend the $99. Scared, fearful. But I spent the $99. I went there by 5 o'clock. By 10 p.m., I made $300. So that night I profited $200, plus had dinner with Grant, plus had dinner with Brad, plus had dinner with Sam, plus had this opportunity to connect with all these people. Then that Friday, I ended up doing the pitch to that woman who I was going to charge her $299 for coaching. I said, instead, because of the coaching that I got from Grant, I'm going to charge $5,000. I charged that woman $5,000. She said, "Yes, let's do it." Wow. And she paid me $5,000. She went and got a loan, paid me $5,000. Then she went to her boyfriend the next day and said, "Hey, babe, I think you should get coaching with Andy. He's a powerful guy. It's $5,000. He got a loan and paid $5,000. And one weekend, I made $10,000 when I was struggling on pennies. Oh, wow. What would have happened had I not spent that $99? If I said, I'm going to keep the $99, I would have lost the $300 that I made that night. I would have lost the connection of hanging with Brad, because after hanging with Brad, which is Grant's partner, so many more opportunities came because of his success, and I was connected with him. So many more opportunities came because of that. On top of that, I would have not made $10,000 that weekend. So I question your audience, the people that are listening, what decisions are you making with your finances that you're missing out on opportunities? See, there's an opportunity cost, and then there's a cost of the opportunity. The cost of this opportunity was $99. The opportunity cost was a plethora of relationships with Sam, with Brad, and so on and so forth, with Grant, and plus the mindset of charging $10,000. Now, for my coaching, now to this day, a couple of years later, $10,000 will only get you 8 hours of my time. Instead of that time that I used to give, it would only give you one 8-hour session in one day for 10 grand. My mind has expanded. My business has expanded. My knowledge has expanded. Still to this day, I'm still benefiting off the relationships that I created that night. For example, Sam Bakhtiar, who's one of the only bodybuilders to have the most awards in America, He's a, one of the fittest men in America. He owns 100 fitness locations.
Yeah.
In 2019, at the end of 2019, which is where we're at recording right now, this story that I'm sharing with you happened 2 years ago. Sam Bakhtiar is currently my workout partner. I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning because Sam works out at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's his routine.
Yeah.
So this morning, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I drove to the gym that Sam introduced me to and work out. So I'm getting knowledge and downloads from someone who's making $50 million a year. They call Forbes and Entrepreneur Magazine call him the $100 million man because he wrote himself a check for $100 million. I'm the youngest person in the circle and I'm getting this information. Why? Because I decided to believe in myself, overcome doubt, overcome anxiety, have faith, and pay the cost of the opportunity versus lose the opportunity cost. $99 was a serious decision back then. But that decision literally revamped the direction of my life. So I host an event called the Progression Conference. It's a one-day seminar. And in this one-day seminar, there's a large group of people that have the opportunity to show up. And I tell them every single time, the opportunity isn't to show up. So many people have came to this one-day seminar that I host, the Progression Conference. So many people have come to this seminar and said, you know what? I don't want to be a W-2 employee anymore. I'm going to start my own business. And within weeks and within months, they start their own company. So many people have come. I can't even count the amount of people. I held this seminar 2 weeks ago here in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
I had people on stage who became authors because of the Progression Conference where they're now sharing their story.
Wow.
So I brought them up on stage and I said, hey, why did you write this book? Well, because Andy, you said that everyone has a story. So I decided to share mine and you gave me the tools. So they went through the training, a 7-week training that I offer, and they purchased it. And then they learned how to write a book. They wrote a book. I brought them on stage because they're doing and sharing the story. Some of them are speaking and on tour with me now. The opportunity is in the show up. Your life can change. The question that I have for your audience that's been listening to this for 2 hours and 10 minutes.
So the
audience that's listening to this, what are you holding yourself back from?
Wow. That's a deep question.
What are you holding yourself back from? And that has to be the question that ends it all. That once someone listens to this podcast, someone listens to this, they say, they have to shut this off and answer that question.
Absolutely. Wow. Wow. This has just been so amazing. I do have just one last question before we wrap up, if you don't mind. My last question for you is, what does happiness from within mean to you?
Daily progression.
Hmm.
That I get to progress on a daily basis. I'm not the same person that I was yesterday. And I truly am not. It's actually small changes that I made from yesterday that I no longer do today.
Hmm.
And last week I was a completely different person.
Yeah.
So daily progression is happiness to me.
Wow. And when you take your last breath, how do you want to be remembered?
Ironically, I did a presentation in front of a large group yesterday. And I shared with one of the people that signed up for the program. We ended up having dinner. And I shared with him, I said, hey, man, because they were asking me like, hey, like, we love you, Andy, and we want to follow you moving forward. Like, we want to follow you. But what's the overall big vision more than what we just purchased? What's the overall big vision? I said, autonomy. That after you work with me, after you go through my trainings, after you experience time with me, and I'm 65 or 85 or 95, and I die, which I have already accepted my death, that I die, that there's going to be a large group of people that say, I am free now. I no longer have to depend on a job. I no longer have to depend on my fears. I no longer have to depend on doubt, that I make my decisions from faith, from progression and success, because I was around you, Andy.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Andy, I am just so deeply touched with just every word that you've shared today. Wow. Is there any other last minute words that you'd like to share before we close?
the opportunity is in the show up. Period. Do not doubt yourself. Period. Think bigger. Period. Walk by faith. Period.
Period.
Overcome doubt, fear, stress, and anxiety. Period. God! Exclamation point.
Wow. Where can people find you, Andy?
People can find me at andyaudate.com. That's AndyAudate.com.
Great. Wow, really, from my heart to yours, I'm so deeply honored, so appreciative to you. I really appreciate your extended time. This podcast is like priceless. Wow. Like, I'm just, thank you so much for your time. And yeah, just thank you from my heart to yours. Thank you very much. And
thank you. Hey, Janet, thank you so much for having me on your show. Like, you, what you're doing right now with the audience that you're doing it for, this is what it's all about. That part of their journey of how they overcome, and the next person that's the next Andy Audate, the next person that's the next Janet Prado, that they say, I heard her podcast, and because of that, I became so-and-so. The same way that I know and I have a true belief that Grant has these big goals and big targets, that the same reason why he has that is because he truly believes that when people experience, you know, what he's gone through, that they can win as well. So I go from a position of not being able to take care of buy a burger to being able to live in one of the nicest places in California, pay for my family's mortgage, give them money, and take care of my family now, really where I wanted to be, where I saw myself, traveling across the country, living the vision that I had years ago when I was on that phone call with that person to become a speaker. Remember in the beginning of the story, I had that idea of becoming a speaker, and that person on the phone said, do you see yourself traveling? And I said, yes, I do, but not for $5,000. Had I not made that decision right then and there in the beginning, I'm talking about in the beginning of the show, had I not made that decision, I said, hey, I'll keep the money, I would have lost out on so many opportunities as well. Remember, guys, money is only a resource. It's only a tool to get you to the next place. You're going to essentially fuck yourself up by not using the tool. If you have it, if you have a nail that's hard to get into the wood, and you try to use your hand to beat the nail into the wood, you're only going to hurt yourself when there's a hammer on the floor. Use the hammer. Trust me, life will be easier. Use your money to progress you to the next level. Every time there's an opportunity for you to go to the next level, especially if you're kind of down and out, I believe that you have the money. It's up to you to make the choice to use it. And I'm not necessarily saying that you have it in your bank account, but you have the resources to make it happen. Whether that's asking somebody, whether that's selling a product, whether that's going out and selling something, whether that's going out and getting the job, whether that's going out, you have it. Every crack addict that I know, when they need crack, they get the money for it. Because they want it that bad. Do you want it bad enough that you're willing to fight for it? Thank you so much, Jennifer, for having me on your show.
Welcome. I just have to say one more thing, just really fast. So at your event that you had, when you said you had 111 people, you might already know this, but those numbers, 111, actually means new beginning. So I just thought that was really beautiful.
That's dope. I had no idea.
Yeah. So it was like a new beginning for you. So anyway, that's all. Thank you so much. And I have no doubt that I'll be meeting you very soon in the future.
Right on. Thank you, Janet.
Okay. Take care. Bye for now.
What city do you live in?
I live here in Los Angeles, Culver City.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Let's get some dinner or something. What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, so
I'm doing podcasts with people in Germany. I'm doing podcasts with people all over the place. And you over here in Culver City right down the street?
Yes.
Man, let's go to Fleming's. Let's go do something.
Okay, I'm going to reach out to you. Let's do it very soon, for sure. Absolutely.
Do you have my phone number?
I do not have your number, but I will. What is it?
401.
Okay.
You're obviously going to edit this out, right?
Of course. Now I'm going to have everybody call you. I didn't want to talk to you. You didn't give me your number. No, go ahead.
401. 305.
Okay.
8040.
Okay, great. That's so awesome. I'm so honored. Thank you so much. Have an incredible day, okay?
Thank you so much, Janet, for this opportunity.
Oh, thank you. I'm so honored. Thank you so much.
Right on. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Hello, beautiful souls. Well, that is a wrap. Really want to thank you for joining me on this beautiful episode of Happiness from Within. You can actually follow Andy on Instagram. He's at AndyAudate. You can also reach him on his website at andyaudate.com to get more information on his amazing services. And for those of you that are listening to this, that are women, I specialize in helping women heal from trauma. I am opening up applications for my 6-month program. I'm only taking 3 women. If you are a woman that's always wanted to heal from trauma and you're really looking to absolutely transform your life, head on over to my Instagram. I'm at happiness from within now, and you can get all the details there. I'm also going to be opening up my program this fall, The Beautiful Soul Emerging. It's a group program specifically for helping women heal from trauma. And depending when you're listening to this, you can again catch all the details at happiness from within now. My website is going to be up and running very soon. My website is janetprado.com, and all the details of each of my programs will also be on my website. But again, it's still under construction, but will be up and running soon. Again, that's janetprado.com. Thank you guys so much. Again, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I just wish you a wonderful, fabulous day, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Have a beautiful day. Bye for now.